There's a lot that I would like to say. Some I get to say, some perhaps that I'll get to say later, maybe not. The Lord knows what He wants the saints to have and how much that He would like for us to have or what we can retain. So I just say what the Lord would have me to say to the best of my ability. Reading in chapter 3, St. John, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. It says, "There was a man to the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born to the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Read over just a little farther in the fourth chapter. St. John. It says that, 21st verse, "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." The words that Jesus speaks here is really some staggering things. For the simple reason, he is stating a certain thing to this woman. This woman is so moved by the things that he is telling her until finally she says to him, I know that when the Messiah cometh, he will tell us all things. This is one of the great signs of the coming of the Messiah, is he will tell us all things. The Bible teaches that we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. And so then our desire, our looking forward to, is for one thing to happen, and that is the coming of Christ, that he might tell us all things. Now, if we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things, then it would seem only fitting that when Christ comes, that he should tell us all things. That is, that he should tell us all things, that we might know all things, because we have an unction from God that we should know all things. Now, this is a beautiful thing. And God said to this woman, said, woman, you talk about over here in this mountain, Jacob said to worship over there, or the forefathers said to worship over there. Said, on the other hand, you could speak of the Jews, that is to say, Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was saying, now you can speak of the Jews, and we can say that Jerusalem is the place that men should worship, whereas today, people still, as Jews, feel like the Holy Land is the place of worship. Even today, they don't feel like there's any worship outside of the Holy Land. They fight as a natural army to preserve the Holy Land because they feel like the Holy Land is the place of worship. The days of King Solomon, when the kingdom fell. See, at that time, they were told to go up to Jerusalem to worship. And because of that, they still, being blinded in part, they still believe today that the proper place is to go to Jerusalem to worship. They don't know any better. So then Jesus said to the woman, woman, he said, the time is coming and now is when you won't worship God over here in some mountain. And he said, just keeping salvation here in Jerusalem, or just keeping God here among the Jews, just in this one place, he said, that's not going to be. Though it has been that way, yet he said, there's coming a Pentecost. And when this Pentecost comes, the Spirit of Christ is coming back. And this great Holy Ghost infilling is coming back. And there's going to be a man named Peter who's going to stand up and preach the gospel. He's going to open the door to the Gentiles. And he's going to say, repent. And he's going to say, for it's unto you and unto your children, and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And he's going to say that the gospel must first be preached here at Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. Or he could say that in a day to come, there'll be a man by the name of George Pike, and John Jameson, and Frank Taylor, and they're going to be worshiping God at a place called Little Bethlehem. And going to be numbers of other people that's going to be worshiping God. He could have said, woman, and he was saying to her, woman, there's coming a day when Bethlehem will come into existence and hundreds of people will be going in and out that place worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Not just here in Jerusalem. Not only there in Bethlehem, but around the world. People will call upon the name of Jesus. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. For I am a spirit, and who shall build me, he said to David, who shall build me a place of habitation? Who's going to build me a house, David? He said, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. You may be the king of Jerusalem, But David, I am the king of all humanity. I am the king of the universe. What tabernacle, what temple can you build for me? They might build you a temple, David, but what temple can they build for God? Seeing that I am from everlasting to everlasting, that heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool, and I am without beginning and I am without end. David, what kind of building do you have in mind to build for me? So you see, God is a spirit. This is the same mistake that people today around the world make. Denominational powers raise up. They become a movement. They become an ecclesiastical power of control. And as they spread out across the world, they set up their churches and they set up their operation. And they try to keep God within the confines of their own little group. God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, which means God is the God of the white man, and God is the God of the black man, and God is the God of the red man, and God is the God of the yellow man, and God doesn't think any more of the red man than he does the yellow man, or the other man that is there, whether he be black, whether he be white, whether he be a German, whether he be, as we say, an Englishman, or whether he be whatever he might be, God doesn't think any more of him. Now, you might think more of yourself than you do somebody else. You might call another nation some degraded name. You might call another race of people some degraded name. You might have a preeminent feeling that you're special and they're degraded, or you're up and they're low. But with God, he thinks that you are just plain ignorant and don't understand, and God has mercy on you until you can get that ignorance out of your mind to realize, as he told the woman at the well, I am the God of all creation. I am the God of the universe. I am the God of all people. And I don't require Brother Taylor to bow down to Brother Pike. And I don't require Brother Pike to bow down to Brother Taylor. And I don't require any of you, whether white or black, to bow down to one another. And I don't give you any preeminence over the Indian over the black man over the white man over the German, or the German over the Japanese. I don't give you any preeminence. He said, I am but one God. I am he that speaketh unto thee. He said, you must worship me. That is, you must worship God. God is a spirit. You don't see God with your natural eyes. You must submit yourself to God. You must submit yourself to the Spirit. You must not submit yourself to a human being, but you must submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, which is God. And you must honor the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit and honor the Spirit and obey the Spirit and do the things that God, as the Spirit, tells you to do. And even the minister, I don't give him any right to lord over my heritage, though I have ordained him with power, though I have put him there, and though he is a shepherd of the sheep, and he had the power to bless and to curse. But I still tell him not to lord over my people, because I alone am God. I alone am the good shepherd. I alone am the Holy Spirit. I alone am he that was dead and is alive forevermore. I alone have the answer. God says, I am he. So then it is a true fact that though God tells me to submit myself to you and tells you to submit yourself to me and commands us to submit ourselves one to another, yet it is a profound fact that the only reason God does that is that we might submit ourselves to Christ within each other. In that it is not us living but Christ, in that we are the body of the Lord Jesus, in that you cannot see God and God is invisible, you do it to one of the least of these, the members of the body of Jesus Christ, then you do it unto Christ.
If you honor the members, you honor the church, you honor the leadership of God. If you honor the Holy Spirit on the inside, God will bless you and reward you accordingly. And if you mistreat one of these little ones, the Bible said in that you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So then, brethren, when we think of these things, we're made to realize that God is a spirit. This thrills me. It thrills me because I can get away by myself. I can go away into the forest. I can go into my back room. I can go off somewhere, just get alone by myself. And there God is. Wherever I go, God is. Paul stood upon Mars Hill and he said, I want to make a declaration. He said, the God that you do ignorantly worship, I'd like to declare him unto you this day. Said he is the God of the Spirit, the great I am. He is above you, he is in you, and he is through you. God is everywhere. God is from everlasting to everlasting. God is a spirit. We have access to that great spirit by one name, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So then our point of communication is the name Jesus. We touch God by the name Jesus, and God touches us by the name Jesus. The works of Jesus Christ at Calvary, the place of the great mediator between heaven and earth, as we would say. Well, that is God, the great Spirit, has given the power of preeminence to Christ, who is between my body, which is the earth, and my spirit, which is filled with his spirit, which is heaven. And between my body and my spirit, Christ intercedes all the time. And the Bible said the great Holy Spirit makes intercession with groans and moans that cannot be uttered. He does that while he searches the innermost parts of my heart. He searches, and the Bible says he knows the mind of the Spirit. He knows my needs. He knows what I ought to have. And so then he makes intercession, and my body is nourished accordingly. So then it's a wonderful thing to understand that God is a spirit. Jesus said to this woman, he said, God is a spirit. Therefore, there shall come a time when you shall not worship God here in the mountain nor here in Jerusalem. There will not be formalities, and there will not be ritualistics. Neither will some denominational power confine God within their ranks or confinements or their little dogmas or doctrines, because as long as there is breath in a human being, and as long as that human being calls upon the name of Jesus, I'm going to be listening, and I'm going to hear. You know, I believe that we ought to honor the brotherhood. I believe that we ought to live right, and I am against people going around saying, I didn't get this from man. I don't have anything from man. We had a brother to come over, I believe it was yesterday, and he was down here. He comes as regularly as he can to try to get everything he can from man, and yet he's really trying to get it from God. I understand that. But he must believe something comes through man or he wouldn't come over here, because God's everywhere and he could get it over where he's at. But he comes over here where a man is or where men are. Now, but he tells our people, he constantly tells them, he wants them to know that he isn't getting anything from man. Well, I want him to know and all the others that I've got a lot of things from man in my day. A lot of things. I've worked for man, I've worked for him, and he put me on his payroll. And he was responsible for buying me some shoes and feeding my family because I worked for him. Now, God gave it to me, and I worked for it, but God gave it through a man. And there's been a lot of offerings that's come down through the years, though I don't take personal offerings. I have to have offerings that amount to hundreds of thousands of dollars. And there's been hundreds of thousands of dollars that has been given to me. I want you to know that they came through a man or through mankind. You say, how is that, Brother Pike? The Bible says, so shall men give into your bosom. So then men has given in my bosom a lot of things. I have heard a lot of good things from men. things that men have said concerning the scriptures, concerning the word of God, concerning the truths of God. I have heard a lot of wonderful things that came through mankind. A lot of wonderful things. And as a matter of fact, I never have received anything that didn't come through man. So if the brother has never got anything from man, that means he has never got anything. Somebody say amen. See, there you go with that man again. That's what we're talking about is amen. So then, it amounts to one thing. The man Christ Jesus came into this world and died for me as the second man, Adam. And today, everything that I have ever received is through the man Christ Jesus, who is God, the quickening spirit. People being spiritually ignorant, trying to get all that they can in any way that they can, and wanting the preeminence so everybody will listen to them as a man, and feel like that nothing come from any other man, stands up and says, I didn't get nothing from man. Well, if you didn't get anything from man, you're in bad shape. We had a number of people that come here, and every time they got in behind the sacred desk, they stormed and they snorted, and they said they didn't get anything from man. And I kept watching them, and I thought, it won't be long for you'll really be in bad shape, because if a man doesn't get anything from man, he doesn't get anything. Those same people that snorted and stomped around, those same men are today backslid and up to their neck in the corruption of this world. You know why? They didn't get anything. Paul one time said that this that I've received is not of man, neither did it come by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I say the same thing. This that I have never came by man. I never got it from man. It came by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Some of these people that are going around making these statements, they've read this concerning Paul, and being spiritually without understanding and not trying to understand, and their hearts not being right to start with, loving the preeminence, wanting to take the people's attention so that they alone could be the one to talk to them. These people have got into a spiritual rut, and they have misunderstood what Paul said. Peter said one time that Paul said some things that's hard to be understood. This is one of the things that's hard to be understood. Paul was simply saying one thing. I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers in all of the land, I learned and received from Gamaliel many multiplied things that I've received. But Paul said when it comes to the revelation of Jesus Christ, when it comes to the spiritual inspiration and the spiritual unveiling of this great, wonderful thing, he said it has to come by the quickening of the Spirit. And he was simply saying that this doesn't come from an educated man or from seminary. This doesn't come from the carnal mind. Like Jesus said to Peter one time, he said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Who do men say that I am, Peter? And he told him who he believed he was. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't get that out of seminary. You didn't get that from some cunning, crafty, wise, educated person. You didn't get that from man. But brother, let me tell you, when you commune with the Son of God, when you talk with a preacher that's a godly preacher, when you see a man that's born again or a woman that's born again, if you know them as a man, if you know them after the flesh, then it means that you are carnal and you're not going to get anything from God. But if you can recognize that they are not man and they are not carnal, that they're the God body and they're the spiritual membership of God and they're sons and daughters of God. And if you can recognize that when the preacher preaches, it's not the preacher speaking, but it is God speaking from within him. Then you'll know that they're all taught of God and that you're not receiving anything by man or of man, but you're receiving it by God and from God through the human instrumentality. So then, by the man Christ Jesus, I stand here today. Because of the man Christ Jesus, I have a revelation today. Because of the man Christ Jesus, I am a Christian. I am healed. I'm healthy and whole today. Because of the man Christ Jesus, I can rejoice in the wonderful blessings of God because of the man Christ Jesus. Not too long ago, there was a statement made. It was passed on to me. I believe that that statement was the cause of the fall of a brother or a man. When he stood up in his congregation out of jealousy and envy and strife, after we here at Bethlehem, having done all that we could to try to help and sacrificed while he enjoyed, stood up and made the statement that I don't believe that the mantle of God has yet come to anybody, or that is the mantle concerning Brother Branham, or that which was to be for this age. I don't believe that the mantle has gone to anybody, he said. Now, you know, a man couldn't make a statement like that but for one reason. And that is to kill the thoughts of the people toward any influential person in Christ, that he might, in return, cause them to look in expectation toward him. And the Bible said, he that exalted himself shall be abased. He that abases himself shall be exalted. So then, in doing that, the man lost out altogether. How can you say that the mantle has not gone to anybody? The mantle is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ. If it hasn't gone to anybody, then that means all of us are lost, and all of the labor of Christ is in vain. It's most assuredly that the mantle has come. You may have a greater portion of it than I do, or I may have a greater portion of it than you do, because we all receive of the mantle of the Spirit of Christ according to the measure that God has dealt unto every man, or according to what we're able to receive or what we have made ourselves available to, in the sense of our submission, in the sense of our searching, in the sense of our hunger. The Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Therefore, if a person will hunger and a person will thirst, a person will submit themselves, and a person is willing to give up their life out yonder. Jesus said, if a man would come after me to be my disciple, let him deny himself and then come after me. Because, brother, it takes self-denial to follow Jesus. It was a denial all the way. But if a person is willing to do that, then they can have a greater portion of Christ. Paul said, I count all of my learning as dung. He said, I have no interest in the things of the world. I have one desire, and that is to make sure my calling in Christ. And I press forward. He said, this I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward to the prize and the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I am determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. And I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. You know, there's very few people that ever ask God to let them know Christ Jesus in the fellowship of his suffering. You don't find people that want to pray that prayer. You know why? Because people don't want to suffer. As a matter of fact, they'll tell you in a minute, God don't want me suffering. God wants me healed. God wants me healthy. And that's true. That's true. But did you know many years ago, when the church suffered, when the church had the feeling that God wanted them to go through some suffering, They used to suffer with Christ. And they suffered. And God was in their midst. And God was among them. And God did great things. Wherever they're suffering, God works among the people. In the foreign fields of India and the different places where people are eat up with leprosy and they're continually suffering and they don't have any medication and they don't have anything to numb the pain, God moves among them and God walks among them and God does outstanding things. Years ago, God used to do that in the church. People suffered. They suffered with Christ. Paul said, I seek to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Said even to the point of dying with him or being made conformable unto his death. Said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. To suffer with Christ is to reign with Christ. In the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, it tells us that those that are beheaded for the name of Jesus and those that refuse to take the mark of the beast, and those that go through this great siege of suffering, the Bible said that they shall be in the first resurrection. It said, and these shall rule and reign with me for 1,000 years. But the Bible said the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years was finished. When we suffer with God, then we reign with Christ. When we commit our bodies and our lives and our minds to a place of suffering, when we say, I'm not going to be some great star, I'm not going to be some great athlete, I don't care about a great income, I'm not looking for a fine place to live, I'm not looking for the goods of this land, I'm not interested in education and careers, I want to do something for Jesus. I'm going to give my time, my thoughts, my mind. I'm not going to try to lay up so I'll have this over here for the convenience of my belly or this over here for the convenience of my own way of life. I'm not going to make any provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I'm not going to enrage God to the point that he's going to get upset at me like he did Israel when he said, I'll feed them till it comes out their nostrils. I'm going to do something for God. God has called me unto suffering. God has called me to do his will. God has called you and called me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, saying, if you would come after me, deny yourself. Let us share with somebody. Let us do something for somebody. See, the Bible said, equip yourselves with a mind to suffer. Paul said, get this in your mind. Get this in your heart. Don't always say, God doesn't want me to suffer. That's why Jesus died. That is a true fact. He doesn't want you to suffer because he died to keep you from suffering. He died so that you would not have to die. He took away your pain so you wouldn't have to have pain. He took away your misery so you wouldn't have to have misery. He said, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospereth. But brother, he wants us willingly, like Jesus. Jesus didn't have to do that. He knew God didn't want him to suffer, but he willingly came down into this world and done it. Paul knew God didn't want him to suffer, but he willingly went forth and gave up all things that he had. In the early church, they sold all the things that they had. They laid it down at the apostles' feet to make a great drive for lost souls and to do something for Christ. See, God wants us to be willing to suffer. Equip our minds with a mind to suffer, or ourselves with a mind to suffer. Have it in your heart, have it in your mind. That I want to suffer for the name of Jesus. I want to suffer for the things of Jesus. I want to suffer to help that leper overseas. I want to suffer to keep that little one that's from being hungry. I want to suffer to share my substance with them. You know, you need to stop and think of it like this. Over in the foreign countries, those people are continually suffering. Over here in this country, we're continually eating and drinking. The Bible said, as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Those suffering ones they have to have somebody to supply their needs because they can't gather anything where they're at. We who are the fat, filled to the full, we have to share what we have with them. That way we are partakers of their sufferings. And they are partakers of our convenience. Therefore, if they are partakers of our convenience, and we are partakers of their sufferings, then they rejoice with us in this life because we have shared what we've got with them. And then we rejoice with them in that life when they come into their riches because they share then with us because we now share with them. But if we don't share with the suffering, if we don't share with the hungry, then we're not doing anything for God. For the Bible said, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. God tells us that we're to take the naked and the hungry into our home, then our healing will come. Then God will bless us. Then whatever we do will prosper. And the Bible said, you shall say to God, God help me, and he shall say, here am I. And it shall come to pass that God will love you so much that he will hear before you call, which means he will already supply your needs, always supply your needs. He already has it laid out for you before you ever ask him. And you daily go from one mountaintop to another. So then in this we see what we must do. But if we be greedy, if we be gullible, if we be selfish, if we just want things for ourselves, if we just want to do something our way and just live in our own little state of mind, then we don't have anything from God, not even his love and concern. What a wonderful thing to be a Christian, to understand and to want to share. So then I see this wonderful thing that God is doing. And I don't know about you, but me, it thrills me. It thrills me. It's no wonder that the early church took the outlook that they did. They saw the real thing. They saw what God was doing. It's no wonder the Bible tells us to labor that we might have to give. It's for sure that we're going to spend what we've got somewhere, whether it's our money, whether it's our strength, whether it's our desire, whether it's our ambition. We're going to put it somewhere. I'm going to put my strength somewhere. In the past years, my strength has gone somewhere. I've either put it in labor for the benefit of my belly, or for my flesh, or the convenience of me, or I have either put my strength to the exchangers that I might have usury at his coming. That is, I have given my strength to Christ that Christ may bless me with super strength, that I might have the usury of the super strength of God at his coming that I might be his. I have given my intelligence, I've given my thoughts, I've given my time, I've given my ambition, I've given all that I am. Somewhere down the trail in the past, I've given it to something. I've given it to somebody. I've given it for some reason. But have I given it to God? Have I given it to God? Brother, sister, if I didn't, I lost it. If I invested it in anything else, if I gave it in anything else, then I lost it. I lost it. If I didn't give it to God every day, if I didn't invest it in the kingdom of God, then it's gone. I can never get it again. It's gone. But if I gave it to God, it's laid up as treasures in heaven. The Bible said, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth, when you've got strength, when you've got good intelligence, when you're quick, when you can do something for God. Remember the creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days of judgment and reaping comes. God tells you to remember your creator. Put your strength in God. Put your time in God. Put your thoughts in God. Cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. I don't mean this wrong. I'm not critical, neither am I making fun of anyone, but people are nothing less than foolish to go to college and spend their time and their years and their youth in school, spending their time in a book, spending their strength and their time in some silly college or some silly school, trying to absorb the knowledge of mankind. And then when they get all of that knowledge, they don't get what they went to get. All they do is become the servant of the devil. And they become enslaved by the money men. Some of the money men that's never been to college, that don't hardly know anything. And yet they've got all the money. They've got the power. And all of these others that they've subjected to the learning, to the things that they get out of college, they subjected them to it for one reason. That's so that they can run their businesses so they can make money. And they become a slave to tribute. A man is foolish to do that. What he needs to do is to give his life to God. Remember God in his youth. Do something for God in his youth. Don't spend your time and your youth in some silly something like that. Don't get hungry for money and get hungry for power and things of this world and prestige, offices, to have a career. Have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and to go after Jesus, because the reward is eternal. God is not forgetful of our labor in the Lord, in that we have ministered to the saints and do minister. God wants us to continue to do that. Let's give our time to God. Equip yourselves with a mind to suffer. If you want to do something, get a mind to suffer. That is a mind of sacrifice, a mind to do something for God. You know, we labor for the meat that perishes, but we don't labor for the meat that God gives. And we work for the dollar. There's millions of people. They'll do almost anything for a dollar, even kill their own mother. Some's been known to do it. There are people that would do that and have done it. But when it comes to working for God, or doing something for God, or getting down to business with God, putting forth a little effort for God, they don't want to do that. If you take the dollar out of the picture, you take the money out of it, they don't want to do that. You know, I thank God for one thing in my life, and that is God called me away from everything years ago. And I told my wife, I said, "Betty, we're leaving everything." I said, "Everything that we've got, from a job to a house to land, everything, relatives, whatever. And we're going to do like Abraham." I said, "And we're going out for God." And I said, "Whatever we can get, that's what we'll have. Wherever we go, that's where we'll be. And whatever comes out of it, that's what'll happen." And I said, "I'm going to trust God that everywhere I go, everything I get, and everything that I do will be to His satisfaction, and it'll be for God." And we started off, and we didn't have any money, and we didn't want any money, and we didn't care anything about money. We started off to do something for God. And brother, God has blessed us, and God has been with us across the nations and across the different parts of the world. And God has blessed us physically, and God has blessed us spiritually, and God has blessed us financially. And God is still blessing us in a tremendous way. I pray with a regularity, "God, give me the heathens for mine inheritance." I don't pray for God to give me money for my inheritance. I don't pray that God will give me land for my inheritance. I don't pray that God will give me anything for my inheritance, except, "God, give me the heathens for my inheritance." If I pray for God to give me money, then that's of this world. If I pray that God will give me buildings, that's of this world. If I pray that God will give me land, that is of this world. Whatever I pray for in this world is of the world and will pass away with the world. But I pray for an inheritance beyond this world. And I say, "Jesus, give me the heathens for my inheritance. Father, give me another foreign language. Father, give me another printing machine or another skilled laborer. Or Father, give me somebody that is spiritual minded. Or God, give me another co-laborer. where God open up the fields of world evangelism to me, open up the missionary fields to me, oh God, to where I can get my hands on the heathens. God, give me those heathens for my inheritance. Why do I pray like that? Because those are souls. And someday on the other side of the rivers, we say, I want them in my crown. I want those beautiful jewels in my crown. I want to be able to walk out through the fields of life and see the sparkling, sparkling glitter of human souls that are alive for eternity. The Bible said, and these shall be jewels in your crown of life. God has crowned my soul with eternal living. That's my crown of life. It's a life that never diminishes. And someday I'll walk through the fields of glory, as we say. And there will be one, and there will be one, and there will be another, and there will be another. And everywhere I look, life for me, that will be my crown. That will be the life, my crown all around me. And I'll see a sparkling jewel over here. It's in my life because I brought him in. Over here there will be another one. And I pray, oh God, give me the heathens for my inheritance. God, give me the black man. God, give me the white man. God, give me the yellow man. God, give me the red man. Oh God, if nobody wants them, give them to me, God. Give me the heathens for my inheritance. God said, ask of me the heathens, and I will give them to you for an inheritance. And I say, oh God, give them to me for an inheritance. How beautiful it is to be a Christian. How wonderful it is, friend, to be a Christian and to know about Jesus. And to have in your heart these wonderful thoughts. To have in your heart these wonderful desires. Oh, how beautiful it is. How wonderful it is just to know that Jesus loves you and to care. And to know that he cares for you. Now, so then we see these beautiful things that God is doing. And here at Little Bethlehem, now coming down to our own little place of abode. Coming on down to our own home front. You know, I speak of people all around the world. I speak of laborers all around the world. God has laborers all around the world. He has people working for him all around the world. And I speak about this over and over. But I'm speaking now of Little Bethlehem. I'm speaking now of our own little home front. I'm speaking now of our labor. I'm speaking of you as an individual now. I'm speaking of those that labor with me and those that want to be part of this ministry. I'm speaking of those that God has ordained to be part of this ministry. Those that are anointed of the mighty Spirit of God to be part of the Little Bethlehem. Those that have that feeling of God on the inside. That stirring, that you can feel that gives you the drive. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm speaking of you now. Great men and women. Great men and women. The world doesn't see it. They don't know that you're great. But you're great and mighty people. Good people. Holy people. Godly people. Though all the world may find fault with you, yet it doesn't make any difference. God loves you. And you're God's people and you're great people. And you're full of the Holy Ghost and full of the courage and full of the glory of God, full of the knowledge of God. I'm speaking of you that work here and you that labor here, not only on the home front, but abroad, under the tent. Whether we're out there under the tent on the field, whether we're in the mission field, or whether we're on the home front, whatever it might be, radio, TV, printed page, whatever you labor with me in. See, I'm speaking of your ministry. God said, and your faith is spoken of throughout the world. And your faith is spoken of throughout the world. Think about that. Your faith, my faith, our faith. Spoken of throughout the world. My, what a wonderful thought. There's people like over in India, like down in Chile, over in Brazil, like over in Israel, or Africa, or other parts of the world, Haiti, around the different parts of the world. There are people that are pleading with us to come, fasting and praying, begging and pleading that we come into their land and preach the gospel, whereas we have it sometimes or another, some of the land. While at the same time, there are some, like the letter that came the other day, said we need 50,000 tracts, 50,000 pieces of literature. Said, we thank you for the literature that has come. Brethren of little Bethlehem, sisters of little Bethlehem, they stated, we want to praise you. And we thank you for the literature that has come to us. And how wonderful it is, they said, we received it and gave it abroad and scattered it to the hungry people. Said bread to the eater. But said we need 50,000 tracts right now. They want, numbers of them have asked for 50 and 60,000 tracts a month. Where in Brazil, 300 churches, one work with 300 churches that's asking for multiplied thousands of pieces of literature. Brethren, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about going into all the world. I'm talking about preaching the gospel. See, this thing is not easy. It didn't just come up overnight. There had to be many efforts, prayers, to be able to get into those countries and penetrate those languages and get the message into their language to where they can understand what we're publishing. God said, write it, John, put it in a book, send it to the churches. Somebody said, well, God wants me to go preach. Well, that's good. Go preach. But God also said to me, go preach the gospel. But George, write it, put it in a book, and send it to the churches. And that takes a lot of people. When I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, fasting and praying, having a meeting there at the Church of God in Cincinnati, Ohio, it was right there that God gave me a vision. My family was fasting. And it was there that I met Brother Taylor. And God showed me this great thing where I had to have help to send it into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. God has given us the means. God has given us the skill. God has blessed us with these things. What a thrill it is. How great it is. Oh, to know that you and I can lay up treasures in heaven. Have you ever thought about laying up treasures in heaven? People put money in the bank, they build houses, they buy cars. All of their treasures are in this world. The Bible said all of the Gentiles seek after those things. But folks, have you ever thought about laying up treasures in heaven? Have you ever thought about doing something for God? Have you ever thought about breaking down the old carnal resistance, getting into the stream of Christ and flowing with the body of the Lord and laying up some treasures in heaven? You ever thought about it like that? The Bible speaks of laying up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal and where moth doesn't corrupt. But the Bible said wherever your treasures are, there your heart will be also. Folks, my heart is in heaven because my treasures are in heaven. My desire is in heaven. My zeal is in heaven. All that I want to be is in heaven. All that I think of is in heaven. What I want to talk about is in heaven. I long to do something for Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Ask of me the heathens and I will give them to you for an inheritance. Wonderful jewels in my crown of life. Give me just a few more minutes and we're going to close. Woman, Jesus said, God is a spirit. God gives the word. Great is the multitude of them that publish it. God has given me the word. He has given you the word. God is the one that give it. I didn't give it. Brother Taylor didn't give the word. Brother Branham didn't give the word. Brother Graham, Billy Graham didn't give the word. Paul didn't give the word. Elijah, Abraham, the great men of old. Brother Osborne and the great leaders of today, Brother Roberts, they didn't give the word. God gave the word, folks. God gave the word. And the Bible said, great is the multitude of them that publish all abroad throughout the world. Great is the multitude. A great multitude, and I'm one of the multitude, and I'm glad to be one of them. You are one of those that are publishing the word. Write it, put it in a book, send it to the churches. And so then these people are calling every day. They're writing every day, and they're saying, Brother Pike, come into our country and preach the word. And they're saying, people of little Bethlehem, send us tracts. Send us this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us. A Macedonian cries saying, come over and give us a helping hand. Who can I send? God said. Who? Who will go for me? He said. And God stands and he asks, who can I send? Who'll go for me? Which one of you will volunteer to leave off with your life and give your service as a living sacrifice unto God to do something for God? What businessman will take his business and turn it into the labor for Christ? That will take his business to make millions of dollars to give to God to spread the gospel? What woman will leave her services in her own natural way of life to pray and seek God, or go with her companion to the missionary fields and do without a lot of the convenience of life to be able to preach the gospel and tell people about the things of God? What person is willing to leave their job, man or woman alike, that's willing to leave their job and leave off with their enthusiasm and leave off with their business to be able to preach the gospel or be able to publish the gospel or to be able to labor in some way as to do something for Jesus? Brother or sister, that's what I want. That's my life. That's my desire. If you labor on a job, labor that you might have to give. Don't labor that you might have to buy and build and lay up and plant and get the things of this world. Don't do that. I know that at Bethlehem we build buildings. We have to have buildings. No, build an ark. You had to have an ark. God could have saved them without an ark. But God works through human instrumentality. God used the skill, even a Bezalel, when he built the Ark of the Covenant and saved Israel from their enemy. So then God, he helps us to build buildings. We have to have buildings. We're in this building here tonight. We're worshiping God tonight. We've got a place tonight. It's not the most convenient place in the sense that we could have padded seats, and I'd sure love to have them. We could have air conditioning, and I'd sure love to have it. We could have a whole lot of other things that we don't have. But we did this to worship God. We did this to give to others. We give to others to help spread the gospel. And I know that a lot of them squandered it away, but nevertheless, we did it out of our heart. God blessed us, and we've done without, that they might be blessed. These benches that you're sitting on. See, when we got these benches, I'd already had a man to come down from Virginia. An engineer had already went through the building and figured the layout, made the blueprints so that we could put theater seats in here. Nice, plush, theater-type seats that would be made to custom just for this place. Already got the wire for the cooling. Already run the wire, the heavy-duty wire. But see, we've tried to put it somewhere else. We've tried to do something else with it, so that we could spread the gospel and carry on and share with others. See, this is what I'm speaking of. Equip yourselves with the mind to suffer. Equip yourselves to do without a little bit. Equip yourselves to want to help somebody, to share with the hungry and the poor and the needy. Let's go through a little inconvenience. You've done that at Bethlehem. You could have had the fine heating in the winter. You could have had the fine cooling in the summer. You could have done that. But our buildings, we've kept them in this kind of condition so that we could help others. And God, a little bit here and a little bit there, is added to it, and we build it. And we don't like a whole lot. But we've got to have buildings, and we need even more buildings right now. But at the same time, folks, we need to spread the gospel in all the world. So then, let's equip ourselves with a mind to suffer. Let's quit getting into a ritualistic and realize that God is a spirit, and that if you are not a spiritual person, you are not relating to God. If you are a carnal-minded person and you think carnal on eating and drinking and buying in this world, you are not spiritual. You are not a Christian. You are not born again, and you will not be translated into the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. To get into God's kingdom, your spirit has to be translated into God's kingdom. That takes a spiritual thing from God. So then, to be able to get into the spirit, you got to be spiritual. Paul said, "I would that you're spiritual." To get revelation, you got to be spiritual. And to be able to be a spiritual being, you got to pray and seek the Lord. You got to be concerned. You got to listen to the word. You got to meditate in his laws day and night. You got to think on the beautiful things of Christ. God wants to supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. God said, I would above all things that ye prosper and that you be in health. God died so that you wouldn't have to die. Jesus suffered so that you wouldn't have to suffer. But brethren, that's not the answer to the problem. We should be willing to suffer. As Paul said, equip yourselves with a mind to suffer. Have a desire to suffer. Have a willingness to subject yourself to suffering for Christ's sake, for the needy's sake, and then God will be in our midst. I say this again. Years ago, God was in the midst of the church doing great and mighty things because the sufferings of Jesus Christ was there. Paul said, I seek to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering, that we can know Him in the power of His resurrection. That is, that He can move in our midst and heal the sick, and God can help us and God can bless us to reach the world. Years ago, they had suffering. They subjected themselves in many ways to do something for God, and God moved in a mighty way in their midst. Today, they don't know why God isn't there, but that's the reason, friend. It's because there's no suffering in the church. There's no willingness to suffer. Paul said, don't I have the power to lead a wife? Don't I have a power to work on a job? Don't I have a power to do all these other things? Ain't I just like you? He said, brethren, I do this for Christ's sake. I do this for Christ's sake. Didn't the early church have the right to deny Christ and be blessed of the people? Didn't they have the right to keep their money and not bring it and lay it down at the apostles' feet or sell all they had to feed the poor? They had the right to keep that. Peter made that plain. He said, Ananias and Sapphira, what you had, it was yours. Nobody asked you for it. God said to Moses, let those that are willing bring whatever they want to bring, of their time or substance or whatever. Peter said, it belonged to you. Nobody didn't tell you to give it. That was up to you. But said, inasmuch as you did consecrate yourself toward this cause, you played the hypocrite. He said, you're in trouble with God. Folks, I believe that we ought to get down to business with God, don't you? I believe that we ought to really mean business with God, to try to do something for Jesus. Pray a little bit at night. Sacrifice a little bit of your time at night. Sacrifice a meal or two every once in a while. Sacrifice a little bit of what you've got to feed an orphan or to help us publish the gospel throughout the world. If not here at Bethlehem, find some place to where you can. Find another church that you believe in. Find something that you believe's right. Just be sure it's the Word of God. Don't just give to anything. If you better think God's speed and it's not God, the Bible said you're partakers of their evil. So you better do more than just think that they're right. You better get the Word of God and find out if they're preaching the Word and if they're publishing the Word. But get with somebody and do something for God. That's the way to do it. If you're not doing anything, then come over here and help me. We've got a Macedonian call over here. I want to say again, I thank God for Larry and for his wife, Sister Nancy, coming all the way from Arkansas, bringing me probably better than $15,000 worth of poles for the big tent. I thank God for that because I had to have the money to get that with. I had to have it to set the tent. And there was no way. And I said, now, Lord, you'll supply as you've always done. I've got so many things going, Lord. You'll supply that like you do all the rest. And I know you got somebody somewhere. You work through human instrumentality. So shall men give into your bosom. I know that you'll bless somebody with the great blessing of being able to do it. And the great blessing that they'll receive from doing it. And me with the great blessing of having those things to put up the tent that I might give myself more to the gospel and telling others about the wonderful services and life of Jesus. All right, let's stand to our feet. Through all of this, as I preach from time to time, Paul said, I don't speak in respect of want. Though I speak to you about all the wonderful things of God and the need of the gospel to plead the cause of the widow, the orphan, I don't speak in respect of want, for my God, Paul said, shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And he's done it. He's done it, folks. And I'm very grateful that he has done it. And he will continue to do it. But I tell you of these wonderful things that you might have the opportunity
to be a part of this glorious thing. It isn't that God hath need of us. We have need of God. The Bible said if we don't praise Him, the rocks would praise Him. If we didn't publish the gospel, He could raise up rocks to sing praises and publish the gospel. But He chose human beings. And it is expected of human beings. Because it is human beings that needs deliverance, not rocks. He didn't choose animals to go preach the gospel because it is not animals that need deliverance. It was not the birds that sinned. It was man that sinned. Therefore, God expects man to correct it. Death did not come by God. The Bible said death came by man. Therefore, man is expected to get rid of it. We need to do something, folks. So then tonight, let's purpose in our heart that we're going to do something for Jesus. Glad to see the couple come in with us over here. Appreciate these people being with us. Could you tell us your name, please? Oh, Brother Bill. I should have recognized you, Billy. It's a real pleasure, brother, to have you here with us. Brother Bill, from over in Mississippi, preached the gospel for many years in that area and done probably one of the finest jobs that any man ever done in the areas of Mississippi. I really believe that he did one of the finest jobs. And during the time that we was there, was one of the most notable and outstanding men of that area, around in that area. I thank God tonight because you're here with me. Folks, we've got to get I know you've got a burden for God. I see you laboring. I see you doing things for Jesus. I know that you've got a burden for Christ. I know that you have. But we've got to have a greater burden. A greater burden. I want us to get a greater burden for Jesus. I want to ask you a question. Would you like to have a greater burden than what you've got? If you would, I want you to raise your hand. I would like to have a greater burden. I really would, from the bottom of my heart. Let's get a greater burden for Jesus. And let's, this year, now knowing that the tent, that is the 120 by 60, the three-pole tent, will go up down in Apalachicola, Florida. Knowing that it's going up on the 18th, then that means it's going to take fasting and prayer. It's going to take strength. It's going to take a lot of effort. Everything is ready. What little that's lacking, they're getting it ready now. We've got to do something. And then if the big five-pole tent, if it goes up in Chicago, then we got to do something, folks. It's going to take some fasting and praying. It's going to take some real doings because it's going to have to go up. And I ask you to pray, and I ask you to work with us. And let's get behind everything and see if we can't do something for God. Let's everybody stand together. I want to say again that it's our pleasure to be here. Appreciate so much you coming to be with us. The people coming, Bill and them coming all the way out of Mississippi to be with us. And also Brother James coming out of Macon, him and his family. Different ones that comes to be with us from time to time. We appreciate you so very much. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? How do you all appreciate Brother Larry's gift? Brother Larry, Sister Nancy, and their gift to the Lord. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that my Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad.
And I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. And I will rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. We're gonna enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We're gonna enter his courts with praise. We're gonna say this is the day that our Lord hath made. We're gonna rejoice cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Ain't you glad Jesus made you glad? I tell you, it's so wonderful to be a Christian. It is so wonderful. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in. Today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Can you sing one more time now?
Oh, come into my heart, come in. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
We thank you tonight for your kind attention. While you're standing here with your hands lifted to heaven, I want you to lift them up and your eyes closed. I want Brother Gerald to come, if you will, Brother Gerald Whitlow. I want him to come tonight. And I want him to pray with you this closing prayer. I want Gerald to ask God to bless you for what you've done tonight. And he will. He will. If Gerald asks him to bless you and you pray and believe, he will do it. So tonight, while he's praying with you, let's give God a chance to bless us. Can you do that tonight?